Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word this morning, believing you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, believing you have come down with a shout, which is a message. Father, we have partaken in that message, and we believe, Lord, the voice is ready to come forth. We know the dead shall be raised, and Father, we shall gather together with them, and then we go to meet you in the air, or your Son in the air. Be with us, Father, and take us with you when you go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning I've got a little bit of what is going around, and I think I picked it up actually out flowing without a mask on. I probably got 100 breaths full of whatever, all the dust and everything else coming, and so my voice is limited this morning, and just bear with me. Wednesday night, we spoke from paragraph 84 of the token, and in paragraph 84, Brother Branham said, "Now, a scene, every spiritual happening is a sign from God." And then he immediately says, "Be careful, notice that, see, watch. Every spiritual happening, everything that happens is a sign." Is it large enough for you? Okay. I think I can maybe bring it up here a little bit. Now that is page width. Let's see if I can do 125. That's a little bit bigger. Okay. So we want to accept these words as we accept all the words of a vindicated prophet. But we must also be very careful with what we do with those words. I mentioned the supernatural occurrences that I've witnessed in Uganda, where the great storm was silenced by the spoken word, and the great weather changes, and where the temperature dropped by 30 degrees in a matter of minutes after we prayed for God to do so in Kentucky and in Argentina. And always remember that John 14:12 was followed by John 14:13, where Jesus said, "Ask what you will, and I'll do it." We also mentioned that the three horizontal rainbows in Congo, which were identical to the three horizontal rainbows that appeared to Brother Branham, confirming his ministry, had been true. And so when I got back from that trip, I actually mentioned to Brother Bell about those things happening, and he said, "Well, Brother Branham, I believe that's a sign from God." Now, he's the same Brother Bell that taught us that we've seen our last sign. So why would he say it's a sign from God if we've seen our last sign? I want to kind of clear up that understanding for the people this morning. So Brother Branham, we hear him say every spiritual happening is a sign from God. But then he warns us to be careful, and I think it's wise advice, because I'm certainly no prophet, and I am certainly not vindicated to be a bringer forth of the word of lip to lip from God. But I do take solace in knowing that I'm only teaching what a vindicated prophet did bring lip to lip from God. And I confirm that what he said by showing it in the Bible, which is God breathed, so it also came forth from the lip to lip of God. This Bible did. And then it was written down for generations to have. I do believe, however, that I've witnessed, along with many, many others, these supernatural events, and therefore, as God's prophet said, right here in this sermon, he said, every spiritual happening is a sign from God. Well, some reading this might quote Brother Branham. They might say, "Well, Brother Branham also said we've seen our last sign," and we don't deny that either, that he said that. But if we understood what he was talking about, we'd be able to take these two quotes and place them together. I've always said you don't throw one quote out because you have another quote. And just because you have maybe 10 quotes here and one quote over here says something different, you don't, or it appears to be different, you don't throw that out. You know, otherwise, you're cramming a square peg into a round hole. We must take all the words, because Brother Brown said, he said, "You must speak only what I said and all that I said." You see, there's too many misunderstandings, and our doctrine is, if our doctrine is, you know, if there are quotes in Scripture that are contrary to our doctrine, then we don't have it right. Now, there's nothing wrong with admitting that you don't have it right. Brother Bell said he didn't have it 100%. I don't think anybody has it 100%. I don't think we will until we actually are actualized by the change of the body, and we're changed, and we're on the other side. And then we don't have it right because we're going to be taught for a millennia how to be kings and priests. So, you know, we ought to get off our high horses and you know, say, well, I've got it because I had a teacher, or I got it because I had Brother Bram, you know. Forget it. It's a growth process. We're growing into it. So, he also said we've seen our last sign, and we don't deny that, but if we understood that he was telling us, we could see these two quotes side to side and have no problem with them at all. Because how do you place the blood moons that the Bible said, that God said in the sky in Genesis 1 to be signs and for signs of seasons and times? Well, if the blood moon is a sign, then if you take, we've seen our last sign is that there's no more signs, period, then you say, well, what does the word last mean? Brother Bram explained what the word last means. We're going to show you this morning. A specific sign. We've seen a last specific sign that is there before the coming of the Lord. Now, so the blood moon is a sign. In fact, we're going to see it tonight at 8:21 p.m. And it'll be a super moon. Super blood moon. I don't know what that means, but God knows what it means because he's doing it. Now, when I returned home in 2007 from a mission trip to DRC, I told Brother Vail what had happened, and even Brother Vail acknowledged to me that he thought that the rainbows were either a sign or a message from God. Now, this is a man, as I said, who taught for many years that we have seen our last sign, yet he said it was either a sign from God or it had some special significance. But seeing neither of us is a prophet, neither of us knew what that sign or message was or what it meant. It could have been an acknowledgement from God that what I was teaching concerning the doctrine of Christ and his relationship between Father and Son is the right understanding of the message, and God was just confirming that to those who were there. I don't know. It could have been to fulfill the commission of Mark 16, because he said, Jesus said that we were to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs would follow. So, signs and wonders followed. But what I teach is what Brother Brown taught, and I also know that what I've taught has been backed up by supernatural signs and wonders, just like our prophet was, though mine only a thimble full of what he had, but he had the greater works. But Brother Brown quoted Jesus many times concerning Mark 16, saying, go forth into all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs shall follow. And he never said these signs would stop because we have seen our last sign. So the last sign has some other significance to it. Not only that it is the last, but it was a last special sign before the coming of the promised Son. From his sermon, proving his word, Brother Brown said, and remember, Abraham and his group never received one more sign from God until the promised Son arrived. How many knows that's true? That sign of discernment. And the royal seed of Abraham, let me hear you, let me tell you, thus saith the Lord, you're receiving your last sign. That's according to the scriptures and the revelation of God that's in my heart that speaks that this is the truth. So you have a group of people who say, well, okay, we've seen our last sign. There are no more signs. Well, there's no more new signs. Listen, you say, now you're different. No, I'm not. Let's hear all that the prophet said. Take one paragraph, one quote out of a paragraph, I mean one, and you isolate it, and you can put a lot of stress on yourself. And from his sermon, Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Isaac, the last sign that Abraham, and that we are the royal seed of Abraham, the bride, the last sign that Abraham ever seen before the promised sign come, the promised Son come, was what? God in the form of human being that could discern the thoughts of the people. One man, not a dozen, one man, see, has that sign. No matter how many impersonators they had one. And he discerned the thoughts that's in there. What? And the next thing happened, Abraham and Sarah turned back to a young man and woman again. Well, I would call that a sign. That's a sign of the resurrection. And yet it wasn't that last sign that he's talking about, which was a sign of God in flesh discerning the thoughts and hearts of the people. Now that's why I think those who oppose what we teach concerning John 14:12 just don't understand what we teach. We do not teach that the bride must do super duper miracles. I've never taught that. We do not teach the bride will have the sign of Messiah. We've already seen that last sign. I've never taught such nonsense as that. But I teach only what Brother Brown taught, that the believer of John 14:12 will have the same spirit as Jesus. And therefore he will have the same nature as Jesus, and he'll live like Jesus. He'll speak the same things that Jesus spoke. He'll act like Jesus acted. He will talk like Jesus talked, because he has the same nature as Jesus, because he has the same spirit and the same life as Jesus had, only we have it in a measure. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, "I Stand at the Door and Knock," he said, if the spirit of anything was in you, it'll make you act like the person. If the spirit of Christ is in you, it'll act like Christ. It'll do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. There you are. And in the Messiah, serving the Messiah, Brother Branham says, they look like him and they act like him. They are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, spirit of spirit. Amen. That's the way God's church is. His eaglets, his messiahs, they look like him and they act like him. They preach like him. They do the works that he did. The things that I do shall he do also. More than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. Amen. These signs shall follow my eaglets. And that's all plurals. Amen. They'll do just as I do. If my spirit's in them, then they'll do the works that I do. And if they don't do the works that I do, it's because my spirit is not in them. Now that's right to the point. If you don't see the signs and wonders following, they're not believers. I'm sorry. I can show you many quotes where Brother Brad says, if he says, you can say it, well, let's just read on. From faith once delivered of the saints. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That was the church. Christ left that his church would have his spirit. And the spirit of Christ will perform and act and live like Christ. Amen. And from, we would see Jesus. He said, but now, while he's here working with his church in the form of a spirit, then if his spirit is with us, he will act just exactly like he acted when he was here on earth. And it'll make you act the same way. Because it's not your spirit anymore, it's his spirit in you, Christ's spirit in you. The things that I do, he's quoting John 14:12, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, the works that I do, shall you do also. See, we'll do the same works, think the same thoughts, live the same type of a life. If the Spirit of God is in you, it makes you live like Christ, Christ-like. And you can't even call yourself a Christian until you are Christ-like, because Christian means Christ-like. Sure. From identified Christ of all ages, Brother Brown said, Jesus said, do you believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? You believe he promised to do this and this day? You believe that's the last sign that this church is going to see now before the coming of the Lord appears? You believe we're right at the end, all the scriptures was fulfilled, ready for the coming of the Son? Now, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, you lay your hands over on somebody right next to you. Now, you're a believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, if he keeps his word to do this, he'll keep his word to do that. Now, you pray for the person next to you. They're praying for you. See? Now, don't you pray for yourself. You pray for the person. They're praying for you. Now, let's all bow our heads while we pray. So the people lay their hands on each other, and God heal those people. Now, I want you to notice something in this last paragraph. Notice he is talking about the people seeing their last sign, which was a discernment, and then he switches to these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, if you're saying the last sign is the last sign, there's no other sign, period, and then he says these signs shall follow them that believe, you lay your hands on it and you watch. It's going to happen. You see, Brother Branham wasn't talking like people are talking. The last sign to the church, the last sign that we look for before the coming of the Lord, is the sign of Messiah, yet the other signs continue from the beginning all the way to the end, until the end, until we're out of here. In fact, they'll continue. The last sign to the age does not do away with the sign of the believer. His last sign was to the age, to all peoples, the spiritual and the carnal church, but the signs and wonders that follow the believer is to individuals as a confirmation from God that his presence is with them and God is confirming their faith and their belief in him. And those signs shall never cease. So even though they might have come, you might be seeing those things today, you can't say, well, I deny that's a sign because we've seen our last sign. You see the childishness of that kind of thinking. So please do not get confused when men try to tell you that we have received our last sign, and any talks of a sign and wonder is false. Men who teach such do not know God nor his word. For God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And anyone who has walked with God will see God manifest his presence to them in supernatural ways, because he changes not. God does not cease to be a supernatural God performing supernatural things. And just because we have seen the last sign of Messiah before the coming of the promised Son, God still remains the same and His nature never changes. And if He is still here, He still has to do things in a supernatural way because He is supernatural. And Brother Brown said the pillar of fire is leading us to the millennium. So I ask the question, where is it? Now those people that saw the three rainbows, they said it can't be a rainbow because it's the dry season. There's no clouds, there's no rain. And then the person said, it's the pillar of fire, and everybody looked up. Brother Branham called those three rainbows, he called that the pillar of fire. Did you know that? So that same pillar of fire that vindicated that man is still on the scene, vindicating his word. That is true. I love it. Now, from his sermon, Melchizedek, the great prince, he said, well, then, it's today to every believer. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice, every believer to every creature. How far? All the world. How many? All the people. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils and heal the sick and so forth. There you are. It's God's promise that He swore that He would do it. No matter how much rises up to try to counterfeit or to impersonate it. Now listen. Or how many things raise up to try to contradict it or take away from it. So you have the two extremes. You have Pentecost that fakes a lot of miracles because I sat in their meetings. One man, he prayed for a woman in a wheelchair and the woman stood up and everybody just thought, oh, God is raising up the lame. And after the service, this is many, many years ago, I walked out of the place and I asked a sister, I said, sister, what did God heal you of? And she was, Emphysema. So they're faking miracles, putting on a show, and calling it God. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't believe for one second. So Brother Brown says, but the other hand, how many things raise up to try to contradict and take it down? We got a lot of people trying to contradict. Well, that's Pentecost. We don't want nothing to do with it. You better want something to do with it. And I'm talking about the Pentecostal organization. I'm talking about the spirit of Pentecost. He says, it'll go on and on and on forever. What will? The signs. These signs shall follow them. It'll go on and on and on forever. For God has swore by Himself that He would keep it. So I hope that puts to rest all those scarecrows out there. And after all, it was Brother Branham who said that he, that Jesus was referring to in John 14:12, is more than one individual. Brother Branham never said that. That was singular. In fact, it was in questions and answers concerning John 14:12. The whole question was about John 14:12. Brother Branham says the following in questions and answers. Brother Branham, can any man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? Now listen to his answer. I want you to notice what the question is. Brother Branham, can any man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? That's what it is. Unless he was Christ. Now look at Brother Branham's answer. Sure. The question is, can any man do the works of Christ? Sure. That means yes. Yes, any man can do the works of Christ, even if he is not Christ. Now, let's keep reading what he's saying here and explaining how any man can do the works of Christ. Let's take St. John 14 chapter. And I want you to look at this now. If you can catch it right quick, St. John 14:12. I believe it is. We'll get it right quick. And look what Jesus said about this. All right? Verily, verily, that means truly, truly, of a truth, I say unto you, He. People say that's singular, but Brother Brown said, whoever it is. That's his words right there. Whoever it is. Now the audience says, sure, any man can do it. Now in the same paragraph, same question, he says, whoever it is. It means whoever it is. He. I say unto you, He, whoever it is. Now notice Brother Brown says, He in John 14:12 is whoever it is. This is not singular. It speaks of whoever or anyone who believes. Then Brother Brown quotes John 14:12 and he says, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Any man. Now notice three times already in the same paragraph. Any man, whoever, and any man. Notice Brother Brown, vindicated prophet of God, reads it as, He that believeth on me, then he tells us that this is any man. Now that's three times in the same paragraph, but he doesn't stop there. The man himself, now listen, all you need is two or three for confirmation. He's already given you three, but he reads on. The man himself can't be Christ, but the works of Christ will follow every believer. Now you've got a fourth one. And it can't stop with four, because that's not a good number. It means earthy. No, we don't stop there. See, he'll do the works in any man. Again, does that sound like he will do the works in only one man to you? Seems to me that people need to learn to read the words for what he said and not what they think. Then he continues, reading, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Not I shall do, he shall do. Not I, but he believes in me and has confessed his faith in me, and he's died out to himself." That's your key right there. Paul said, "I am crucified. I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. But it's not me that's living anymore. Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God." See? So he says, "has confessed his faith in me," and in other words, he's a believer, "and died out to himself, and my spirit dwells in him." That's the key also, because if you died to yourself, and then you've opened yourself up to let any spirit, but he says, you've confessed your faith in him, and then because of that, you've died to yourself. "And now my spirit dwells in him, and he becomes a part of me." Now, if he is the head and you're just the body, doesn't the head say to the body, "hand do this, foot do this, voice do this, nose do this, ears do this"? If you're part of the body, you will do the works of the head. You have to. Or you're not part of the body. Alright? Now, that don't make him Christ. It makes him a part of Christ with the rest of the church. And alright? He is not Christ, because that would be Antichrist, you see. He would be taking away from Christ. But he can be, do the works of Christ, any believer. That's five times, that's grace. Five times in one paragraph, Brother Brown explicitly says that he is anyone, whoever, every believer, etc. Now, I could give you many more quotes similar to this one. So please, please, those who are watching this or listening or reading this sermon, don't you know when I say, when you say that I'm preaching false on this, concerning John 14:12, you're actually calling William Branham false, because I'm only saying what's on the tape. And I say all that's on the tape. The problem is, you are not saying what's on the tape, and you're not saying what's on the tape. You're taking another man's words for it.
Right.
And other men are not vindicated.
Right.
And Brother Bram said, from a certain sound, he said, "How do we know whether we're a Christian or not? Now, we go into all the world and preach the gospel and are baptized and so forth, but how do we know that we're a Christian? These signs shall follow them." I'll give you a certainty, a certain sound, a certain sign. Well, brother and sister, if the signs aren't following you, then anyone has a right to say, "Well, we doubt you're a Christian, because you have it in words only, but not in deeds." From broken cisterns, and look, it's not you doing it anyway, it's him doing it through you. He's accepted your vessel, and he's honoring your vessel, and he's doing what you ask. For broken cisterns, he said, "Now we notice in St. Mark, the 16th chapter, Jesus did not say, 'Go ye into all the world and teach.' He said, 'Go preach the gospel.' Preach the gospel is, he's telling us what preaching is, preach the gospel is demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. Going into all the world and demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost." Well, if that's done by the teachers today, those that call themselves teachers, is the power of the Holy Spirit being demonstrated? Then they're just teaching, they're not preaching. Brother Brown said, "In Christ is a mystery, 1 Corinthians." Now, there's nothing wrong with teaching. When Jesus, but I'll tell you, you know why men have to teach? I'll tell you why. It's right in the Bible. Jesus went to his hometown, and because of the people's unbelief, he could not do any miracles, so he taught. The teaching comes because of the unbelief of the people. People don't believe in the supernatural, so God still working with them, still loves them, so he begins to teach. And he gives them teaching. So, that's it. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Listen to this great apostle here, Paul, the intellectual servant of God. Now, let's look at here. I, Paul, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I never said I'm Dr. So-and-so, see? For I am determined not to know anything among you except save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my beseeching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of the power. There's the gospel. See, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say, go teach. He said, go preach. Now, listen, I was not looking to do or to see those miraculous things that God did, because I actually went overseas to teach. But God backed up the teaching with the supernatural, making it preaching. Good example was when we were in Uganda. That huge storm took place. I was teaching on the relationship between the Father and Son. I went forth teaching. God, look, and a man can't go forth preaching. He can't go forth with demonstration unless God is there to demonstrate. He can't make things happen that are supernatural that no man can do unless God is doing it. I wasn't even looking for it, but we had this huge storm come up. I didn't know what to do. In my own mind, I said, I'm going to go sit down. I want to sit down. And just before my backside touched the wood bench or the chair, whatever it was there, I was just about ready. I was halfway down, and something spoke to me and rebuked me and said, what are you sitting for? Did not I send you? And I thought, yes, Lord, you did. I didn't hear it here. I heard it in here. I said, yes, Lord, you did. Then that same voice, inner voice, it said, then take charge of the meeting. Well, I had no clue how to take. How do you take charge of that? How do you take charge of a wind so strong and hail so big, size of golf balls coming down? You couldn't even hear yourself. And I can speak, you know, when I don't have a cold, I can speak pretty good. I can speak pretty loud. We have more people in here now. I think we had about 35 ministers there. And it was just, I mean, the racket was so loud, I couldn't hear myself, much less they hear me. So I went to sit down, but that Holy Spirit rebuked me. He said, go take charge of the meeting. Now, I had no clue how to take charge of the meeting. Absolutely no clue. I didn't know what to do. All I knew was I better obey Him. Because I'd been through this kind of experience before, where He rebuked me, and I didn't do nothing. I didn't move, and the rebuke came back and just shook me. So I started moving toward the pulpit. My very first step that I took toward the pulpit, in the process of it, and I don't know if it takes a half a second or a third of a second, whatever, but the very first step that I took, in that time that I took to land that foot, I remember seeing about 30 seconds worth of, like, a mental vision. It was inside my eyes, it wasn't out here. It was inside my eyes, and I saw Jesus sitting in the boat, and I saw, in fact, He was laying down in the boat, and the waves were coming over the boat, and the apostles were getting really excited, and they're getting scared, and then Jesus sat up, and He said, peace, be still. I saw about 30 seconds of that in about a third or a half a second, whatever it took me to get my first step. By the time I took my second step, which was another maybe half a second or less, I saw Brother Branham, the same mental vision inside my eyeballs, not outside my eyeballs. I saw Brother Branham running around the tree praising God because He's spoken in Colorado and the storm went away. And I saw those two things. Well, the next four or five steps to the pulpit, the devil got on my back and said, if you do it, you're going to make a fool of yourself. It's going to get around all the world that you think that you're somebody. and you're nothing but a fool. And I remember Brother Branham, a third confirmation from God. The word came to me from Brother Branham. Came in my mind, not this time, not in a vision, but in my mind, or a mental vision. Came in my mind and in my heart and said, but I'd rather be a fool for Christ than a fool for man. You know, remember Brother Branham tells a story about the man had a sign on his chest. He's walking down the street, says, I'm a fool for Christ, and everybody's laughing at him. Then when they turn around the back one said, whose fool are you? I'd rather be a fool for God and be obedient to Him. He said, take charge of the meeting. I had no clue how to take charge of the meeting. But I saw the eldest son. I saw the older brother, William Branham. Not the oldest, but Jesus was the oldest, and I saw an older son, William Branham. And I saw that same thing take place in their ministries, and I said, I'm a son also. I've been teaching on it. We're sons of God. We have the same relationship. Jesus was a pattern. He was the example seat. So as I come to the pulpit, I didn't know what to do except for this. I said, I take charge of every spirit. I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God. And Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke thee. Your stinger was pulled out of Calvary, and you're nothing but a bluff. And just like that, if you've seen the video, I've got it. If you've seen the video, it's like the lights went up. Well, there was no lights in the building. But it had been so dark outside because of the overcast, and the clouds were so thick and poor. It was so dark that it looked like lights came on. Right there. Now listen, I was over there to teach, but God made it preaching because he brought demonstration of his spirit and power. Those brothers, the same thing happened in the afternoon. I think you all know the story. Those brothers then, when the same thing took place, I asked them to pray because the Holy Spirit said, if you pray, I'll honor your word because I'm the same, I change not. But if you pray, then they're going to try to make you another William Branham. He said, have them pray. So I told the brothers exactly what the Holy Spirit had spoken to me. They prayed and God did the same thing. And to this day, they remember that. They remember that God is on the scene. God will honor the words of a man if he just yields himself to the Holy Spirit. So let me just say that Brother Brown says, in other words, demonstrate the power and the signs shall follow them. Just teaching doesn't do it. I have gone for years and years overseas and teaching. And the brothers were just getting this doctrinal understanding and they were fussing with people and everything else. Because that's what doctrine will do. You make a little camp, you get that camp, and you start fussing with everybody. That's not what God wanted. He wanted his relationship made known. Brother Bell didn't spend 30-some years teaching on relationship between father and son, on God and his son, for us then to go and say, well, it's just about doctrine, it's just about theology. We had to turn the corner, brother, sister, and enter into that same relationship that Jesus had with his father, that William Branham had with the same father that we have with that same father. Because Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he said, go tell my brothers that I must go to my father and your father, my God and your God. So he is the God and father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God and father of William Branham. He's the God and father of me. He's the God and father of you. We live so below what we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be, and the whole world is groaning. The whole creation is groaning and travailing for you to step into what you are. Just be what you are by the grace of God. He said it takes the actual spirit itself, notice itself, that's personal, itself demonstrating these signs. Now listen to this, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Oh my, see, to change the man. Not what I can explain away and say he's not the same when he is the same. If I do that, it shows me, it's surely a man that tells me that would be showing me that he don't have the revelation, the threefold revelation of God. Now, this was from Christ and the Mystery of God Revealed. And we spent 200 and some sermons on that particular sermon of Brother Branham's, showing you the threefold purpose of God. The threefold revelation of God. And remember, as we covered that, from paragraph 199, Brother Branham says, see the threefold mystery now, God manifested in Christ. That was the first fold. Second was Christ manifested in the church. That's today. And third, all together to bring back the original Adam and Eve, man and woman, which are one, made out of the same body, same blood, the same spirit, and everything else. In other words, we are to be united with the head. And walk with him in the cool of the evening just like they did. Now, just one more quote on this before we go on. From the greatest newsflash in history, Brother Brown said, and now isn't it a strange thing that it takes something on the side of supernatural to make us understand that it's him. That teaching itself won't do it. He never commissioned his church then to go and teach the word. He said, preach the gospel or manifest the gospel. Okay? And the gospel came not through word only, but through the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Even the word revelation means divine truth in manifestation. Divine truth in manifestation. There's got to be a manifestation of the life of Christ in this gospel, or just forget it. And Paul, now, therefore, the next verse says, Mark 16, these signs shall accompany or follow those, them that believe. Then you see, it takes the accompanying of the sign of resurrection to confirm the word to make Jesus positively known to the people. Until then, it's just theory, it's theology, it's just teaching. So you can see that the gospel is to be lived and manifested. And it says the word preach, the gospel, is to manifest the gospel. Now, back to the token, paragraph 84, we'll pick up. And Brother Branham says, and we're not here by accident. These things just don't happen by accident. It's a sign. It's a sign to get to safety quickly. Noah was assigned to his generation. Elijah was assigned to his. John was assigned to his. Now, John wasn't a prophet. Well, I guess if he's talking about John the Baptist, he was. See? And everything. The message of the hour is a sign. Now watch it. Look what it's doing. See? It's a sign. Everything has a meaning. At no other time could this type of a message ever happen. It could not have come in Luther's day. It couldn't have come in Wesley's day. It couldn't have come in Pentecostal day. It couldn't do it. See? There's been so much thing happen, and yet it was promised in the Bible. See? We're at the end time. Nothing could happen. It couldn't have happened until this time, and it's happening for a sign and wonder. Now, what is a sign? Oh, little people, my brother, sister, get under that token quickly. See, don't take no substitute. Don't do that. See, don't just imagine it. How many people imagine they got the Holy Ghost because they say, we believe the message of the hour? So you ask them, what is the message of the hour? And they give you some doctrine. The message of the hour is not doctrine, brother, sister. The message of the hour is Christ and Him resurrected and living in you. And He is the doctrine. Now, you can have the doctrine of the Word only. And Jesus said, the Word killeth, but the Spirit gives life. You stay there until you know that the token is applied. Until you're whole. The mind that was in Christ is in you. Until all the nonsense of the world is gone. Until the whole heart's desire is Him. See? Then you know something is happening. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not make believers, but believers. See? Now, we don't want to take any chances on it. You must do it. The message of the hour is assigned to the church. It's assigned to the people. Don't. And are you catching it? I hope on the tape that they're doing the same thing. See? In other parts of the world. See? The hour sign is here. There's a token that's got to be applied, and no other time could it have come. Now, from the planting of the vine and where to plant it, Brother Brown said, that's the way many people are in the churches today, the good people, just planted in the wrong place. Now, if a real believer is brought to Christ and he's planted in some great denomination that doesn't believe in miracles and signs and wonders of the Lord, that person may be a genuine Christian and a Catholic or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or Jehovah's Witness, something else. In that church, a genuine vine of God, but the denominational creeds cuts off the life of that vine. They can't bear its fruit. And usually what fruit you get off the vine that's stunted or not in good ground, it's bad fruits. It'll come forth like apples and be knotty and worm-eaten. It's because a subject for all insects. A good, healthy vine doesn't even have to be sprayed. It's healthy enough to be thrown off all of its enemies. So is it with a born-again Christian. You don't have to be spraying them all the time and spatting them up on the back. They're spiritually healthy enough to throw off all the scandal of the world. They are living off the true nourishment. So even if you're a true, genuine seed of God, and you're sitting under the wrong teaching, in the wrong influence, the wrong denominational church, or wrong organizational church, or wrong, let's face it, the wrong influence in this message, the signs and wonders won't be there. And if they are, they're going to be like little knotty fruits. Why? Because you're stunted, because you've got all this peer pressure. Unless you're willing to buck the system. And if you buck the system, you'll be out of that church in no time. Because not by your own will, but they'll force you out. They'll cut off all fellowship with you. Now, from the church age book, Brother Ram said, from Patmos Vision, he said, those who heard it and wouldn't listen will be judged by what they heard. Those that rested in it, saying they believed it, but didn't live it, will be judged. I believe it. I believe everything he said, and I'm resting in it. But are you living it? If you're not living it, you'll be judged. And from the token, paragraph 36, the token was not no good unless the token was displayed. The token had to be displayed, not a sympathizer with the token, but the token must be applied. And no matter how much anyone could prove that he was a Jew or a covenant Jew by circumcision, he didn't do anything about it at all. It took the token, not the covenant. He never said, when I see the covenant sign, but when I see the token. So today you might be a professed Christian, you might be with the covenant with Christ. But, you know, you might claim the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. But unless that token is displayed in this late hour that we're coming to now, there is no way for him to pass over. The token must be displayed, it must be on. From the token again, paragraph 113, Brother Rasta, now notice they were not just yet come together to talk about the message. That's the problem we have. People talk, but they're not living it. They must come together to apply the blood, to apply the token. That's what you must do, Pastor Neville, and to this congregation, trustees, deacons, and to you brethren. It's time that we laid aside all the foolishness of the world, time we laid aside everything else. We've seen enough now that we're positive, sure, and the token must be applied. Without it, you're going to perish. You must perish. That is the only thing. Oh, don't come together and say, well, I believe it. Get beneath it. Get into it. How to do it? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody believe with all your heart. See, he was not responsible for any that was out from beneath. Now we're going to go back to where we're at today from paragraph 86. Notice God's preparation for that time. Now, as we know that the Bible said, all those things happened for an example to us. Notice when God got ready to judge Egypt, first he made a preparation. What did he do the first time? He never changes his order. The first time when he made his preparation, he sent a prophet with a message. First thing he done to his people was send a prophet with a message. The next thing he done to identify this prophet, he sent the pillar of fire for identification, to identify it. And the third thing he sent was the token. That's exactly right, the token. What was the token? What was the token mean? An assurance. First, his prophet with a message. He identified himself among them with the pillar of fire with his prophet. Then he sent the token. Now, this is a problem I see in the message. You've got people believe the prophet, and they believe the pillar of fire was there to indicate that prophet. Because pillar of fire doesn't vindicate. God vindicates through thus saith the Lord. We ought to know that. We've had enough teaching of that through Brother Vail's ministry for 30-some years to know that God vindicates through thus saith the Lord. He doesn't vindicate through signs and wonders, or Balaam would have been vindicated. In fact, you know, just because the same rainbow came for Brother Brad, came for me, then I could say I'm vindicated, but I'm not, because that doesn't vindicate you. Thus saith the Lord vindicates you. Because God has to back up what he says. You see? So notice, we got people in this message that believe in a vindicated prophet. They believe the prophet. They believe in the vindication of the prophet. They actually believe the pillar of fire. But have they got the token? Have they got they say they do because they say, well, we believe the message. So what? So what, you believe the message? It means nothing to God. You've got to step into the message. You've got to die to yourself and let Christ come in and live your life for you. That's, look, he's the only thing that God will accept is a sacrifice. And when he looks at you and the sacrifice is applied, he doesn't see you, he sees Christ.
That's right.
You see? Then he sent a token to get under the blood that he'd accepted the substitute death in your place. Then the blood was a token that he looked at, that he looked at you, that's heard the message, believed on the pillar of fire, and had accepted the substitutionary that he had provided for you, and you were under the blood of the very chemistry of the life that went out for you. My, what a perfect thing that is. See, you're under the blood. Now you're under the Spirit, under the Holy Spirit. See, you believe the message of the day. See, you believe the power, the pillar of fire, you believe that, see, and you do. But what if you don't believe the power? You're not there yet. Like I told you, Brother Collins, I had lunch with him. He said, Brian, I can't believe how many ministers in this message don't believe in the power of God. They don't believe in the supernatural of God. He said, it's just obvious. And then he went on to tell me about how when the light, after Brother Brad had drawn on the blackboard and the light appeared in the back of the church as people were there singing, you know, Take the Name Jesus With You, whatever the song was they were singing, and the people were walking out and they turned around, and when they turned around, the light showed up on the back wall and wrote out exactly what Brother Brad had on the blackboard. Well, two ministers, they decided that they didn't want to believe it. So what they did, they didn't believe it was supernatural. So after church, while everybody went out to eat, these two ministers hung around. They were visiting ministers. They hung around. They tried to use mirrors to duplicate on the back wall what they had seen, because they thought maybe somebody, some car passing by or whatever. They don't believe in supernatural. He also told me that a whole bunch of ministers that were leaders in this message, because Brother Vail wrote the Church Age book, they took it out and they had a book burning. He said, you know, God gives his church that great gift to help straighten out all the false doctrine, and these leaders, so-called leaders of message churches, went out and burnt it. Brother, it was shortly after the book went on, you know, was given out to the people. They took theirs. He said, you should have seen all the books. He said, I was there. I saw it happen. They tried to get me to do it. I wouldn't do it. I went to Brother Brown and told him. He said, I saw it. There was a lot of them. And also Brother Brown said, now look, just to believe it is not enough. And not to walk around where it's at isn't enough. See, that's to make yourself worse. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, those borderline believers. Jesus spoke of the same thing, Hebrews the 6th chapter. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the word to come, world to come, if they should fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant of the blood wherewith they were sanctified, with the chemistry there, sanctified, it ain't the token. The blood's not the token now. The life is the token. The life could not be there because it was an animal. The chemistry was a token. You'd have to have the literal blood applied to the door, but now it's the Holy Spirit. We're coming to it just in a moment to prove that. See, it's the life that is in the token. Your life is gone and you are dead and your life is dead. You are hidden God through Christ and sealed in there by the Holy Spirit. The mind that was in Christ is in you. And Christ in the Bible and the Word is the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then you and the Word and God and Christ are the same. And if you abide in me and my Word abides in you, you will ask what you will, and it'll be done. See? Put the power right into Moses' lips to go out there with his Word and speak frogs, and frogs come. To speak and frogs come, frogs left. To speak and lice come. Speak, lice left. Amen. But then the token was required for all Israel. So they saw the frogs spoken, the frogs left, the frogs spoken, the frogs left. But then, after that, the token was required for all of Israel. All Israel was required of this token, and when I see the token, I'll pass over you. Oh my, my, what an assurance. Now from Israel, coming out of Egypt, paragraph 91 says, Israel coming out of Egypt was a type of the anti-type today. Egypt was the church, and Israel represented the bride. As Israel come out of Egypt, so does the bride come out of the church. See, because there has to be something there for it to come out of, and it's got to come out of it. So if it was the type, the church is down in Egypt, in the world, and in sin, and does not care a tinker about your token. They don't even believe in it. But Israel loved it, for it was salvation to them. And we proved last week that the token applied is the life of Christ applied or manifested in the bride. And that is John 14:12. That's what it's all about. The bride living and breathing Christ's life. And notice Brother Brown says here, the church down in Egypt, in the world, and in sin, and does not care a tinker about your token. They don't even believe it. But Israel loved it, for it was salvation to them. And though the church makes fun of it, we love what God has shown us concerning the life of Christ, living and expressing and manifesting itself out of his bride. For as he is in this world, so are we. That's what he said. In closing, Brother Brown said in a sermon, Rising of the Sun, he said, I am he. I am he that was dead. So dead till the sun said he was dead. The moon said he was dead. The stars said he was dead. All nature said he was dead. And now the whole world has to recognize that he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, God's word. He was the dynamics to prove it. And if he, being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him, and it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations and the others that spoke of the bride, and it can only manifest, and if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. So if your life is different from the groom, you're not the bride. Because she's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power, she is him. So how are you going to have a Christian life? How are you going to have the Holy Ghost in you and not the power of God in you? This is exactly what the Apostle Paul himself says in Galatians 3:27. For as many as you of you as have been baptized into Christ, not talking about physical water baptism, talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, he says, into Christ, have put on Christ. We put it on. We put him on. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head in Christ. Notice he said grow up into him, not unto him. As I said many times, excuse me, if Brother Don was standing right here, I would be unto him. But he says, Paul says, the fivefold ministry is to get the people to the place where we grow up into Christ. We become Messiahs. The net fits perfectly with the head. And from earnestly contending for the faith, he said, he became me, that I might become him in heaven. And in closing, Christ's mystery of God revealed, Brother Bram said, paragraph 284. And then the word moves down into the body from the head. What is it? The same word. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. So that same word moves from the head as the day comes down, down into the body, down into the body, down into the body, vindicating that they are one. Their husband and wife, their flesh of his flesh, word of his word, life of his life, spirit of his spirit. See, amen. How do you know it? It bears the same record, same fruit, same word. See, manifests Christ, manifests life. Same God, same spirit, same word, same book. Amen. Same signs. Things that I do, shall you do also. Oh, hallelujah. Let's bow for your prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful for your word. And Lord, we just ask you to help us, because we're all human beings. We were born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. We come forth to the world seeking lives. And so it takes a daily crucifixion, even after we've received your Holy Spirit. It takes a daily dying to self. Paul said, I am crucified. I was one time, but I am crucified. Present tense, I am crucified with Christ. And yet I'm dead, but I'm living. And yet the life that I'm living, it's not Paul, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm living in this flesh, I'm living by the revelation of the Son of God, who died himself in Gethsemane before he could walk to that cross and die for us. Then as Jesus stepped into his role in Gethsemane to be the bleeding, dying lamb, help me, Father, to step into my role as the Son of God, walking after the example and the pattern of your Son Jesus. For I know that I am ordained to be conformed to the image of your firstborn Son. So help me not only to die to Brian, but as Jesus said, he that loves his own life shall lose it. But he that hates his life, he that detests his life shall save it. Help me to so detest Brian Kosorek that I will completely die out to every characteristic and attribute that was born into this flesh. That the attributes and characteristics that were reborn in my soul might have the preeminence to take over this flesh and to live the life of Christ. For this we ask, all of us, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, Make Me a Servant. Make